going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
As of right now. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. We went from 24 hours ago being greedy about winning this game and going up 2-0, then coming back home. Now you're tied 1-1 and potentially no Jimmy Butler for game three.
I mean, let's just, you know, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. You lose on Saturday, and then it's hit the Andre Nicotina situation critical.
So that quickly?
100%.
Really?
It's situation critical.
I still don't. Even if they get down 2-1 on Saturday, I don't know if I trust this Rockets team to have four games good enough offensively for them to win against
one
the Warriors.
One thing has been established in this Rocket-Warrior matchup this year, no matter what the variations of lineups are, they have stymied the offense for the most part of the Warriors.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They have not been able to score over 100.
So that's why, to me, I have got to get more bucket getters out on the floor. And I'm looking at a couple of guys that can play in small spurts, not with each other. Buddy Hield, GP2, and Looney. And I'm not trying to pick on them. What I'm saying is that they've got to play more offensively minded combinations. And if Buddy Hield is going to play as many minutes as he's played over the last 4 or 5 games, and he's not going to score, and he's not going to set up for others, and he's not going to play defense, well, then he needs to not play.
888-957-9570. A lot of layers to this conversation as we got about 30 minutes to go until Fast Five. So we want to hear from you. Same number to call or text, 888-957-9570. And the physicality was a big takeaway from yesterday's game, too. Do you think the refs allowed that game to be too physical, Dub Nation? The players say it wasn't, but what do you feel heading after that game? 888-957-9570.
Let's establish that before the Jimmy Butler, you know, injury, Dylan had 2 fouls, Amen had 2 fouls, plus that was going to be the third, and Şengün had 1. They were in the bonus.
Well, DeMarcus Cousins, former Warrior and current analyst for FanDuel Sports, he thought it was too physical.
Boogie, I want to talk about physicality because there are Warriors fans out there. They don't love this for their team. It's been very physical, but I think those of us watching are like, this is awesome to see. Do they have a point? Are the Rockets too physical? What have you seen?
It is getting to a point where I think the refs are letting too much go. And obviously as a fan, as a physical player myself, I enjoy this type of basketball. I think this is, you know, the foundation of basketball. I think this has always been a part of. I think in the past, you know, 10, 15, possibly 20 years, we've kind of shied away from the physicality of basketball. But with all that being said, it was some plays within the game that I thought, you know, the refs let go a little too much.
Okay. I'll take DeMarcus Cousins' word on this. I always feel that big, thicker centers and power forwards who play with their back to the basket never got enough whistles to the contact that was allowed against them. It was almost like, oh, well, you're big. So, you know, smaller guys are able to be way more physical than you. Shaq is a great example
for
me. I never thought Shaq got enough calls.
Yeah, and Shaq will tell you that too. He's like, dude, people were allowed to punch me because I was so big and it didn't look like I was being hurt. Like, it was ridiculous, and I agree with that.
It's we do this like almost reverse psychology, like, well, you're big, you should be able to take it.
Right.
Right. And I've never kind of subscribed to that. A foul's a foul. Exactly. Whether you're skinny, whether you're big, whether you're thick. So I do believe a lot of it, like a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, who was a big physical dude. I just think in his head, he never thought he got enough calls. And well, I kind of agree with him.
Well, Mike in Berkeley says game three is going to be even more physical. Mike, good morning. You're on with Spadoni.
Let's just get boxing gloves.
What's up, man?
Hey, Joe and Joe. How's it going?
It's going great.
I think they smell blood in the water, and I think it's a system that's working for them. The more physical they get, the better off they are. Mm-hmm. But I do have a solution. It could be the play of the series, and it could be the play of the rest of the playoffs. I think the first time that they get chippy with Steph, I think the person that needs to come flying in and put his chest out is Moses Moody. And if he does that and stands up and even get a technical, Moses Moody getting a technical would be the best thing that could ever happen for this team. And I think that would propel the rest of the team into getting physical right back. I think it would be a huge lift for this team. What do you guys think?
That's Mike in Berkeley going and getting a technical. I thought Steve Kerr was going to do that early in the first half. He was heated. He was on all the refs. He was pissed off because Gary Payton clearly got fouled and got shoved. They didn't call it. So he was heated. He was animated. Didn't get the tech. But I like sending a message like that. Does it have to be from Moses Moody? Like, does it have to be from, does it matter who? Like, at this point, I really don't think a technical is going to do much for this team. Like, you heard it from the players there. If anything, yesterday's game, you would have been fired up for the Jimmy Butler foul or the non-call, I guess, on Jimmy Butler from Amen Thompson. But they even looked and they even said, yeah, it wasn't dirty. So I don't know.
Is getting a technical going to fire you up to box out better? Is getting
that,
a technical
that's kind of where I'm at.
Is like, getting a technical going to help you stay in front of Jalen Green?
Yeah.
Not fall asleep off ball when a guy is cutting from the dunker spot to the post? Is, you know, that going to stop? You know, is the technical going to fire them up to not throw the ball into the second row on the first possession of the game?
Right.
Is that going to fire them up to actually square up to the hoop Draymond Green at the top of the key and shoot? I hear him on like matching the intensity, and there's something to be said for that. There's no doubt. You can't play passive against this team. It's a requirement to match and meet their intensity, especially the way Ime Udoka on these timeouts is like all over the floor. I mean, he wants to chest someone so bad. He's a lunatic.
I was watching. It's on my screen right now where Fred VanVleet and Draymond are kind of going back and forth and jawing at each other. And Ime Udoka just like lurking right behind Draymond and keeping his eyes on him as he goes past him. Like, he wants the smoke. He does. And going back to the technical foul thing for the Warriors, is that playing right into the Rockets' hands? That's what they want. They want you to get upset. Well, they want you to do the technicals. They want to do all that stuff.
And when you got the flagrant or whatever, you missed the free throw,
yeah,
Draymond. You missed one of the free throws. Like, there's little things that the Warriors need to worry about, and it's called executing and the details and knowing the personnel, not closing out on a non-shooter in Amen Thompson, Draymond Green, who pump fakes and goes right by you for a dunk. Like, that's how the Warriors are going to win this series, playing smarter, not playing more. I mean, yes, match their intensity and be some level of physical. I don't think a technical is making or breaking them.
Speaking of details and attention to detail, that's how I describe Brian and Palo Alto. Brian, good morning. How are we feeling about that loss? Your boy JK off the bench, 26 minutes.
Good for him. I think, look, let's be honest, right? If Jimmy is out for even one game, I think the series is over, personally. They're really not a functional offensive team without Jimmy Butler. I mean, obviously, you traded Wiggins and all that other stuff, right? And so, like, you know, you're a worse team than you were when you were a 500 team playing against, you know, pretty good Rockets team. So, yeah, I think he cannot miss one game. And, you know, because they'll lose game three, I think, without him. And then the momentum of the series is clearly back on Houston's side. I mean, we had one guy that could score last night, right? Out of five guys on
crazy,
the court.
Crazy, right?
If Steph was on the court. One guy that could score. But basically, my game three is going to be, if there's any skin left on Gui Santos' elbows after that game, they're going to have to be scrappy on the floor, every loose ball, because, you know, they certainly have been not the guy. They certainly have lost the 50-50 balls so far in the series. And they can't be that team anymore. They're not good enough, especially without Jimmy. Pods has to bounce back and play great. right? Has to.
The BPA, the Looney Gee Buddy Pods Moody lineup didn't look offensive to you?
It's over. Like, and also Cole, you know, like, come on, Kerr, right? Looney is done.
I'd give
TJD some run, man. Give somebody that could jump.
Thank you.
Maybe that has some energy. And if TJD dives for every loose ball, I don't want to see Looney again. That's my take. Have a great day, guys.
There you go. It's Brian in Palo Alto. He's gone.
I wanted to give him a hug.
The caption said, I love Jonathan Kuminga with like 10 exclamation points. I knew that was Sam trolling. But, but again, I don't think they lose game three without Jimmy and the series is over. I'm not willing to go that far.
I think a lot of fans feel that way.
I don't, though. Okay. I don't. I feel like the Rockets still, again, I know they had an offensive output. They scored 109 points because 38 points was from Jalen Green, all right? He's not doing that every single game. Now, Alperen Şengün, he's not going to get 17 points like that again. Maybe he'll go over 20. And again, the role players played well for the Houston Rockets. There's going to be, at one point, you'd think, Fred VanVleet's going to have to shoot something well. I mean, good God, that guy's been awful.
You're dancing around it. You're dancing around it. Here's where we've come. And this is the irony. Everybody that wants to destroy this kid at every turn, whether Jimmy comes back or not, I think it's pretty clear right now. They're not winning this series unless they get contributions from John and Kuminga.
Whoa!
No, I don't know. No. This isn't a hot take. Come on, we've seen it. Like, some of these other guys aren't stepping up right now. They're not able to score around the rim and match the athleticism of what the Rockets bring to the table.
24 hours ago, you told me that JK might not even sniff this series.
But this is how playoff series work, right? Josh Giddey, as I've brought up 50 times, was a key component to what helped OKC win a ton of games in the regular season. They got into a series. People are adjusting. They take away what you can and can't do well. And right now, there are other players on this team that are so defunct offensively, they're almost unplayable. And in a series where you're searching for offense, like you're looking for water in the desert, that's what this Warrior team is looking for right now. Jonathan Kuminga has some elements and traits that can help them score some buckets, and then I think brings things to the table on defense. Look, this is where we're come. And if you're not ready to embrace it, you're probably going to get bowed out here because you do need him. Whether Jimmy comes back or not, he's not playing 44 minutes a game. You're going to need JK. He can bring things to the table here. I'm not saying he's the end-all, be-all. I'm saying if you're asking for Buddy or GP2 or Looney to give you that punch, it's not coming. That 15-point game is not coming from those guys. JK can give it to you.
Speaking of Jonathan Kuminga, Steve Kerr was on our airways a few days ago with Willard and Dibbs talking about Kuminga and seizing an opportunity. And you were saying that yesterday, right? Seize your moment, you kept saying. Shout out Ernesto de la Cruz. Steve Kerr on with Willard and Dibbs talking about Kuminga staying ready, and he's been great on the bench.
Jonathan has been fantastic. I mean, his attitude, his energy on the bench, cheering guys on, staying ready. He's a great, great young guy. And, you know, this has been tough on him, but he is doing exactly what he should be doing, which is staying ready because, you know, as I've told him and our coaches have told him, things can change in a heartbeat in the NBA, and he's got to just be ready for when his time comes, and that's exactly what he's doing. So he's staying ready, and I would be surprised if at some point, I mean, you know, his time doesn't come, because I've just seen this too many times. But when you're in a good groove, you know, you kind of keep doing what you're doing, and then you adjust as you go.
So he gets 26 minutes off the bench yesterday, 4-12 shooting overall, 11 points, couple of assists. Got a block in there. That was nice and impressive. So it was a mixed bag from JK yesterday. And here's Stephen Curry talking about Kuminga, knowing that he would be ready to play when called upon.
I thought he played aggressive. I know he probably wants to play better and, you know, knock the rust off. But as soon as Jimmy went down, I actually saw him on the bench and gave him a little love and knew he was going to get his number called pretty quickly. And that is the nature of this league. We talked about it all the time. It's just hard to know and predict when it's going to be. But for him to come out and play with, you know, with energy and aggressive, you know, with aggressiveness and just understand he can impact the game and he's going to have a huge part in what we do. I think whether Jimmy's out there or not, it feels like it could swing a different way. And so that's the challenge. And it's always been for him to see the pictures, understand the intensity that's out there, try to be in the right spots defensively, and then when he has opportunities to, you know, be aggressive on the offensive end, take him. We trust him when he has the ball in his hands and however many minutes he's out there and be ready to play.
Now, you know, life grants you opportunities to put your foot in the door as that door slowly opens up. Now is the opportunity of Jonathan Kuminga to seize the moment. Whether Jimmy comes back or not, we all agree he's not going 40-something minutes a game.
No.
All right? So J.K. will get that chance. You know, Gui Santos is not going to get the long run at the three for stretches the way J.K. will. And now it's up to him. There's no excuses. And I think he's up for the task. I really do. I know a lot of people are going to sleep on him. They're going to short him as a stock. And they're going to say what he can and can't do and blah, blah, blah. Like, can we just all pull for him? I don't know why Warrior fans are, like, rooting for one guy against another guy.
Root for the team, right?
It's like, my God, like, don't you want the Warriors to advance? We're going to need all hands on deck here.
You know what it comes down to. People want to be right. They want to pat themselves on the back. I'm just telling you, that's what they want.
I just want my team to win.
I know you do.
I want my team to win.
In game three, it's not quite a must win, but according to Brian Palo Alto, he said if they lose game three, the series is over. How many fans are feeling like that?
Look, there's a guy.
That's insane to me. I don't think it's over if you lose game three.
There's a guy on this team. There's a guy on this team named Draymond Green who would have never have gotten the opportunity that he was given without a David Lee injury.
Shocked you talking to me.
You know, and he ran with it. Why do we have to alienate individual players on who played well and this guy sucks and that guy? I want Moody to ball out. I want JK to ball out. I want Potts to ball out. I want all these guys to ball out. I just want to win this series and move on. And then in the next series, if Moody doesn't fit or JK doesn't fit or whatever, we'll go with that matchup. It might be Looney in the next round who really fits and for whatever reason, Quint Post doesn't. Like, whatever gives you your best chance to win, I'm pulling for these guys.